everybody. How are we all doing this morning? Well, as you can tell, this is not Wayne. Jackson's back with us this morning, as we're always glad to have him. Hey. Wayne is out hiking on the Appalachian Trail with the Boy Scouts. Yeah, well, I guess it's lucky, I'm sure. Let us know it was a little hot to be out camping, but so hopefully he's doing pretty good. But so I'm glad to have you here this morning, and we hope you enjoy today's service. Everybody watching online, we welcome you. So this morning, let's get you up on your feet and let's sing some songs to the Lord.
All right. You ready? Oh, man, it seems kind of dead in here today, doesn't it? All right, here we go.
Hey, Chris. Chris, you awake?
As Chris okay. All right, here we go. Everlasting, to everlasting, you are God. Everlasting, to everlasting, you are God. In holiness you stand secure. Changed by all the vanities of man. And as the nations rise and fall, your sovereignty remains. You are, you are, you are the one true God. From everlasting. Adopting those who call upon your name. And every generation joins in songs of grateful praise. You are, you are, you are the one true God. Yeah. Everlasting, you are God.
Do you believe it? everlasting. You are God.
Let's sing that chorus again. Here we go.
From everlasting, everlasting. Everlasting, you are God. You are God. You are God.
Hey, give it up for Thomas on the drum,
Thomas.
Man. Kicking it this morning. That's right, brother. All right, now is everybody awake?
Yeah.
Amen. Good, because the next one gets nice and loud. So if you're not awake yet, you're going to be. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. Broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe.
We believe that he conquered death.
We believe.
I want to just keep going with that right now. And I'd like to sing that chorus too again. We believe in God the Father.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. The Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back, He's coming back again.
God, as we come into this place, we just want to give you praise in everything that we do. We believe in who you are. God, I can just tell you by looking around this room and by just experiencing and connecting with the people I did this week that there's a lot of stuff going on. And whatever that is, God, you know, everything just seems to be so weighty in our lives. I believe somebody's watching right now who's dealing with something health-wise right now, something just depression. And God, I just ask that you just let them just recognize, no matter what it is, that our belief in you, in your crucifixion, your death, your resurrection, that's where we have hope and power in your name, and we give you praise for who you are. And so God, just move mightily in this place during this time. Move mightily on those who are watching online, and whatever you do, God, just bring to us a new anointing, a new joy that we may have in your life. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Everybody says, amen. Say hi to somebody where you are before anybody goes anywhere.
Hi, friend.
Hello.
All right, and before anybody goes anywhere, we're going to go ahead and have an infant baptism, so I'm going to ask you to get still. All right, if everybody else could take a seat, we're going to go ahead, and I am going to ask the parents, and I know that the godparents or sponsors are away with some illness right now, to come up and be with us as we go ahead and do this infant baptism. Also, there is no middle school class today, so we'd ask that they stay in the service today. If they just went out, go drag them back, but that'll be good. So if you guys can stand right here. All right. Hey. Don't you love that hair? I love it, so. All right. So here we go. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament. And sacrament is just a churchy word, which means a moment where the presence of God meets you. And so through the sacrament of baptism, we do a number of different things. We personally and together acknowledge the saving grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Next week is the 21st, and so that's Father's Day. We're going to be starting our services at 9:30, a little bit half an hour up, and then the next week is the 28th. What's happening on the 28th?
Baptism.
We're going to go down to the river, and we're going to dunk you in. But anyway, so it's based in God's saving grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And the saving grace, salvation, is a free gift. It's offered to us without a price, But as the great theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, it wasn't cheap. It cost Christ his life. And so we look at this, that God offers us this free gift through Jesus Christ. And through baptism, we're identified with the church and with the body of Christ and incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. The water symbolizes washing and cleansing, for in Christ we are made pure from sin. The water serves as a sign, as circumcision was in the Old Testament, of entering into a covenant of faith. Well, we recognize that children are a gift from God. How many of you have teenagers? Children are a gift from God. I just want to let you know that once again. How many have grown children? Children are a gift from God. There we go. Psalm 127 says, "The sons are a heritage from the Lord, and children are a reward from him." As believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. And throughout the history of the church, children were, and I mentioned this last week, were to be seen and not heard. But that's wrong. Jesus said, let the children come to me. He said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so children are a major part of the church. As believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God, but God in his goodness gives them to us as gifts to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying this gift. Because children belong to God and are given by grace, which is undeserved favor, to parents, it is only proper and appropriate that as we have them at this age, that we dedicate them back to the Lord. And so Debbie's going to share some things here, and then I will continue. There you go, Debbie.
We are told in 1 Samuel that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. In the same way, Becky today, Amy brings her son, Carter Ray Sampson, along with her parents, their parents, Rob and Amy, presenting first themselves and ultimately Carter before the Lord our God. We are here today to recognize as the body of Christ, Carter being brought by his parents and godparents to be baptized. As the family of God, we recognize God's love that is already at work in his life. We pray for the day when Carter will mature and respond to the saving grace of God, accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior and pledge himself to a life of faithful discipleship.
Thank you, Debbie. I'll fire the secretary side of myself later. Okay, so this is so Rob and Amy are here and they are presenting Carter. We have family up here as well. Jake and Kate were also to be here. Kate's been having some health issues and so she's not here with us today. So Jake and Kate Allen. So here we go. I'm going to ask that we pray right now, if you will. Everybody join with me in prayer. So, Father, look down upon your church today and unseal for us the fountain of baptism. By your Holy Spirit, bless this gift of water that we have right here. Bless Carter who receives it so that through the sacrament of baptism, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will protect and guide him in his journey with Christ. Amen. All right. Let me move this out of the way. All right, so what I want to do is I'm going to ask all of you, you ready? I'm going to ask this great question. So, Rob, Amy, and everybody else here, her grandparents, and Jake and Kate, if you're watching online, you can say yes at home. God knows where you are. As members of the covenant community of God through your own confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, will you nurture Carter in Christ's holy church that by your teaching, and here's the tough part, example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself until he professes his faith openly, which leads to a Christian life. If you do so, say we will. We will. All right, good. Now, they said that tough part, teaching and example. How many of your parents? It's great. It's easy to teach, right? How about that example? How good is that? You ever yell at your kids for something that you do and they learned it from you? All right, not me. But they said that they recognize that Carter is a gift from God and that they are going to raise him in the church, and hopefully one day he will stand up here like some did a couple weeks ago in confirmation and profess his faith or kneel at an altar in a few years and give his life to Christ himself. So to the rest of you, to the covenant community of faith gathered here, that's the church, will you surround Carter before you with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his faith and trust of God? If so, say we will. All right, so that means that you guys will provide opportunities, that you won't just say, oh, we should have this at church or we should have that at church. Somebody else do it. That means you do it. You know, I always love that when somebody says, you know what, we need to have this. And you say, you'd be great for that, not me. But we all have gifts in the body, and if we're not using them, then maybe Carter would miss out on an opportunity because you don't feel like connecting to your gift. You with me? And you may say, gosh, I don't want to be in a nursery. But guess what? Those nursery are the first formations that you have a kid in. Right, Rachel? And when you have them in there, they begin to connect. They not only just have fun, but they begin to learn the formation of their life in Christ. And so when we say we don't have time for that or time for Sunday school, we tell the children that even though we say that they come before the church and we say, yeah, we're going to go ahead and we'll open that. It's easy to say we will here. It's harder by our example to go ahead and give our time to the nursery for a week or give our time to Sunday school or give our time to just helping them in vacation Bible school and other things. All right? So you said we will. I just want you to know what you said we will too. Okay? So give me that little guy. Come here, big boy. Hey there. Yeah. Hey, Carter. He's like, you're not my dad. Okay. Carter Ray Sampson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey. Yeah. Here we go. Oh, no, wait. Come here. Come here, big boy. Okay. Ready? Ready? Here we go. Okay. Oh, you're a wiggly one. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. Let's go take a walk. Come on, let's go take a look. There we go. What do you think? You say hi? You say hi? You know that guy. He knows that guy. What do you think? What do you think here? Anything? No. It's great to hold somebody else's kid. Right? I told God to quit giving me gifts. So there we go. What do you think? There's a lot of us that want that hair, right? All right. Got a good look? You say hi? All right. Hey, how are you? All right. There you go, back to mom here. All right, so a couple things. Couple things that we have here. We have, I always make two certificates, so I'll give that to Dad. That's what dads are good for, right? Holding on stuff. And also, we have a flower. Thank you for being part of this. I'll give that to Dad, too. All right. And most of all, I just want to recognize, I want to reiterate the magnitude of what happens. We had, throughout our county and throughout the couple states, we've had a lot of young people who just graduated, who are taking that next step in their life. And we said, and many of them were, I know for a fact, were in churches where people said that they would raise them and in the faith and they would create environments. And sadly, that time between when they graduate and in mid-20s, maybe into 30, is one of the missing points in church for people, because I don't think we've done what we need to do in the church to reach out to the people. So it starts here, and it's in our hands. We all said we will here, right? All right, so let's kick that out. Let's welcome them back in. Thanks, Amy. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. How you doing? You're welcome. All right. At this time, if any of our children are going to head, except for our middle school class, are going to go ahead and head to our Sunday school ministry, you can go ahead and do that at this time. And the rest of us are going to stay here and have some fun. All right. Again, I want to go ahead and welcome everybody here today, and thanking you for just being here. And summer months, they're kind of crazy, but we're having a good time in the church. Visitors, if you are here visiting today, this is your first time, or if you've visited before and you haven't filled out a card. We'd like you to fill out a card and take it out to the back here near the tent. We'll have a gift for you. And you can see a lot of the stuff that's here. We're beginning to have Vacation Bible School, but if you're going to go ahead and fill that out, go ahead and do that. That way we'll be able to connect and with you and see what you thought and just get you on our information list so you can hear the many things that are going on. If you want to become a member of Haven, you can look at the date that's there, the 19th of July. And sadly, July will be here before we know it. It feels like we're just getting started, doesn't it? It's just like getting started in summer and it'll be here. Vacation Bible School registration is underway. And let me just share again a brief little video clip for Vacation Bible School up on the screen. Melinda, can you go ahead and show that for us? Snow in July. So we're going to have a good time, and we want you to sign up. If you know kids, tell people in your neighborhood and just bring them with you. Volunteers, if you are volunteering for that, they still do need some. A couple volunteers are always willing to have more. Right after church, for a very brief, like 5-minute meeting, Melissa's going to have. You want to have it right here? Right here at the front of church. So go ahead and connect here after that. Summer time change. What time are we next week? Everybody shout it out at home. 9:30, there we go. And so that's going to give us a little bit more time for that. Baptism, we mentioned that in the baptism here. In 2 weeks, we are going to be going ahead. There is a sign-up sheet here. You can also, that'll be going around. You can also sign up online. Just go ahead and make us, we want to make sure people are here for some t-shirts and other things. How many of you have been to our baptism service that we have down at the town park? It's pretty awesome. We have a great time, and I see Robin with a shirt on, right? So that's good. We will connect and have that as well. Let me see some other things that we have here. Next week, you can start bringing back the baby bottles for the baby bottle drive. We want to go ahead and have that. Middle school students are staying in. I mentioned that. And next week, the Paris Foundation. There is a few areas of volunteer that Bonnie has asked if you want to connect. She's in the back there. A couple other people are going to connect with the Paris Foundation where we serve at. It's an awesome time. And so if you want any more information to that, Bonnie's email is also here, and also you can connect her online. All right? So a lot of different things are going on. So that's good stuff. A couple of prayers. Linda Boswick has asked prayers for, I believe it says, Christy is going to Jordan on a mission trip and needs protection and God to reach the people of Jordan. Trudy is prayer for her husband and friends riding on their bikes on a long ride, motorcycle, I take it, right? And Damien, traveling mercies and prayers. She's driving to Maine. As she shared several times, her mother and her sister have both been dealing with cancer, and Damien is going to be up there really helping minister with her mom and sister, but primarily her mother. And it's been a lot on them, so we're going to pray. Please pray for Chris King. Her husband Daryl was in the hospital this week and had several tests, and the test results are coming in tomorrow, and so they're praying for very positive test results from there. All right? A couple other things that I do want to mention. Tomorrow is my 19th wedding anniversary. That's your present? No. No. Melissa's had 19 years of wonderful bliss. And then the day after that is my daughter Emigail's 15th birthday. And she's had a lot on her this year with a lot of health issues. Keep her in your prayers as well. All right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we just love you. We know that in our lives, there are so many things that seem to jolt us, so many things that seem to just not make sense. But yet, as the scripture reminds us, when everything else fails in life, you are still God. And so God, whatever the need may be that we bring up today, no matter the struggle, we know that you are the answer and that you are the peace. And so God, bring that peace to us during this hour. Renew in us your amazing heart and just spirit, just to revive us and strengthen us. For those who are worrying about test results or health issues, God, just bring your spirit of peace upon that. God, for those who are looking, like the many graduates who are looking for new direction and still not being able to find it. God, I'm even going to say for those who have graduated a long time ago who are looking for direction and still not able to find it, give them clarity and give them the path and say, this is the way, walk in it. And for everyone else where life may seem okay, but there's just, it seems like everything's going fine, but it's just not connecting. Something's not right. God, just have us lean into you. Sometimes we just need to just bask in the presence of our daddy. And so God, right now, as we meet here, I ask for a special anointing in this place and for those who are watching online. That God, we have received so many gifts and blessings from you, but yet this world needs so much. They're hurting. They're broken. Even for your people, it seems like we're being attacked to the right and to the left. And so whatever it may be, God, go ahead during this moment right now. Minister to us as we go ahead and just take time to stop and continue an act of worship where we say, God, you have blessed us so much. And so with a joyful heart, we're going to give back a portion of your tithe and our offerings. Multiply them, God. What I give fails in comparison to what you can do with it. And so, God, right now during this time, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move mightily and be upon these gifts and upon the giver and the tither that we may be strong for your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. Are stilled when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the sight of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ. Lost its grip on me, and I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Stephen Stiles was going to read the scripture today, but I did want to ask for prayer for them. They had their cars broken into last night in the middle of the night. So just one of those things that just keeps happening. And so be praying for the Stiles family and everyone else who I know seems like so we hear so much of this all the time. So, well, if you missed the last couple weeks, I'm just going to kind of give a brief synopsis. We did a series on I Did Not Say That. Okay, and in doing the series, I Did Not Say That, it had nothing to do with what I said, but we talked about the things that were attributed to God that God did not say. And we've moved on from that today, and today we're gonna get further into trying to really get to know more than we already do about Jesus. And we're gonna wrestle with some of these things. And by doing so, I came across, in just looking at the scripture, there's several verses that talk about Jesus spent a lot of time doing miracles and doing a lot of things. And there's one verse that seems to be consistent or something very similar with that, and it tells us that Jesus performed many miraculous signs. And so I started looking at this, and I decided, you know, hey, this sounds like something that might be good. Now, a sign is something... And right now, if you're like me, you're singing that song, Sign, Sign, Everywhere, Sign. But a sign, when we see signs in the Bible, it refers us to say this is basically the kind of God he is. So when we talked about last week what God doesn't say, or when we see Jesus doing something, we can say That's the kind of person that Jesus is. If I was a woman at the well, this is what Jesus would say. This is the kind of stuff, the kind of God that he is. Things that Jesus said and did because of who he is and what he does. That's who Jesus is. Now, Jesus, in this series, we're not only going to look at this is where Jesus says, this is who I am. We're not only going to look at the who of Jesus, but what I really want to do is look at that Jesus reveals through what he does. Jesus will reveal and say, this is why I came. And we'll see that Jesus is going to do some incredible, incredible things in public. And if you have your bulletin, I want you to have it out. If you can, go ahead and fill in some things. So our series goal is simply this. It's who versus why. And we want to get to know Jesus more than we already do. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, in chapter 1, here's how he put it. He said, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So what does that mean in language? If you want to know who God is, if you really want to know why God does what he does and why Jesus came, look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus, you'll know God. We talked about doubting Thomas. Remember last week we talked about him? And we talked about when he said, we don't know where we're going. And Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. He said, Thomas, he said, well, show us the Father and that'll be good enough for him. And Jesus' response was, Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I represent what my daddy does. Now, how many of you have a parent that somebody thinks you look like or act like or something like that? Now, that may be good or bad, right, depending on what family you're from. But many of the times they say, oh, I can certainly tell that you're Connie Cohen's son. Or what will happen is I was standing at Rising Sun's graduation the other day, and somebody looked and said, oh, my, that is definitely your son, when they looked at Judah. They said, that's exactly you. And so you can see that. But Jesus is saying, hey, we're one, so you know my daddy by what I do and why I'm here. And so Jesus begins to unpack that. It says, after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty or God in heaven. Now, through this, as we go through this discussion, we're going to find that Jesus did really incredible things. And many times we look at Jesus, I will say, I did this because you needed me to help. You needed this fixed. You needed that taken care of. And because I did that, you believed. Because of, you know, I got to tell you, if I wasn't a believer in the time and Jesus had somebody that was in the tomb 3 days that he went and said, come on out, and he started walking out and he went and had dinner with him, going to change my belief, am I right? Then I'm going to believe. Jesus says, because I'm doing this awesome stuff, you're believing in me. But what Jesus wants to do is ask us a big question. And this big question is this: can you trust me or begin to trust me in the parts of your life that you don't see or you don't understand? Can you begin to trust me, or can you trust me in the parts of life that you don't see and you don't begin to understand? Because one of the prevalent things in culture is seeing is believing. How many have ever been fooled by something that you've seen? Like, how many of you have ever seen somebody that you thought you knew them? And you're like, hey. Oh. You realize it's not them? Or you may have seen somebody that looked like your boyfriend or girlfriend, and they're walking in with somebody, and you're like, I'm going to march up there, and you tap them on the shoulder, hey, you, and they turn around, and you're like, oh, I have no clue who you are, nice to meet you, you know. Or you just mix those things up. Or how many of you, this time of year, it's hot, we're riding down the road, and you see that water in the road up ahead, and you're like, oh, there's water here, and you get up there, and it disappears, right? Our eyes do deceive us, but we put so much faith in what we see rather than what we know. Jesus is asking each one of us, and as I said, over the last couple weeks, and particularly for the people of God, I've seen people who were so close to God just be hammered, people who are close to God, hammered, beaten up, and all they know is, God, I'm trusting in you, and it's not any better. I'm trying to trust in you, but what I'm seeing in my life is not working out the way I thought. And anybody relate to that? And as we see this, that's what this series is going to be about. What Jesus does in healing is really pointing to something else, something bigger and something greater. And in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it tells us this. We live by what? Faith and not by sight. And I got to tell you, that's one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing, about my Christian walk to do. How many of you have ever ended up to a point where the finances aren't there? And you say, but I'm supposed to trust God. I'm walking by faith. I'm believing by faith, but what I'm seeing doesn't match up. Or how many of you have been in a relationship where you say, God, you know, this love, honor, cherish, all that stuff for eternity, and guess what? It's not working. Or you say, God, I believe you gave me this job, but I hate it. I despise it. Is anybody awake today? Okay, just making sure. Or it could be, God, you know, you gave me these children. I'm reading, children are a heritage and a gift from God. But God, I got to tell you, stop giving me gifts because I don't like them. I want to return. Where can I return them, God? Anybody ever? And so this is some of the things that we deal through. We walk by faith. We have old gospel groups. We live walking by faith and not by sight. And everybody's, woohoo, yeah. And I'm like, that sounds good, but when we do it, it's difficult. And it stinks sometimes because what we see around us is not fun. And what God wants to say is, can you trust me without seeing or understanding what I'm doing in the midst of this mess? Can you do that? Because it doesn't make sense. You know, it's easy when life is going well to trust God. It's easy when everything's wonderful. When your kid is the valedictorian and you can pop your chest out like this. But when your kid just slid in and they still don't have a diploma because they got to go to summer school, you're not popping your chest out too much. You know what I mean? When other people probably, my kid got A's at whatever middle school or whatever, you're like, my kid still is in middle school in 25, you know, that you're not very proud of those moments, and you're trying to figure it out. You know, it's easy to follow Jesus when things are well, and when he does what we want him to do, but when he doesn't, or when it seems that he doesn't do anything, and we don't know why, it's extremely difficult. This week, I had an interesting occasion. I had some people who had a family that they were just getting hammered with stuff. Step-parent passed away. Both of her parents are struggling with health and in nursing homes fell at the nursing home injury. His father was up and down with health. A kid of theirs got into an accident this week. They were selling their house and septic backed up, all kinds of other stuff, and they just had enough. And they said, you know what they did? They just called people together. Many of them were in their own neighborhood and said, we're going to have a prayer group right out in front of the house to say enough is enough. And you know, it was pretty cool, number one, to see something called a prayer group. And some of you are like, what the heck's that? A prayer group where people just got together and said, we're going to play some music to the top of our lungs and play it. We're going to go ahead and we're going to just lift up in prayer. And all the people there in the neighborhood, somebody a couple months before had a fire in the house and they were home asleep. If a neighbor hadn't come and knocked on the door, they said, I'd be dead. In this community, and the community joining together and praying together. How many of you have had that done in your community? Raise your hand. Yeah, and I was like, wow. I stopped and I said, this is awesome. This is awesome to see. Not awesome that you're going through all this mess, but awesome that you're turning to God and coming together at this moment. And they took a picture after that because I don't know if you saw Friday night, there was a rainbow. And it looked like it was right where they took the picture, it was right over their house. And they said, coincidence? I think not. I think it's God saying he heard us and he's keeping his promises. It's hard to trust when those things are happening in life. Jesus did many miraculous signs. And so I want to drop back a little bit to go forward from where we are. Jesus has spent some time in Jerusalem. And what John tells us in the early parts of his gospel is that Jesus did many miraculous signs there. So he was in Jerusalem. He's healing. The lame are walking. The blind are seeing. The deaf are hearing. He's doing some awesome stuff. And so he takes a route back through Samaria. We'll look at a map in a little bit.
But what began to happen is Jesus was starting to build up this kind of thing, this kind of publicity. It was like Jesus on tour. Like if Jesus was on tour, I'd pay money to go see him. Wouldn't you? Like if you heard, this guy is healing the sick, raising the dead, I'm going to bring the most dead, sick people with me, and I'm going to go up, and I'm going to buy a t-shirt, tuxedo t-shirt for those of you who like Talladega Nights, and then I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to say to him, I'm going to be like, heal these people. I want to see this. I want to be there. Wouldn't you? Or would you stay at home and watch, you know, Oprah or something? I don't know. Dr. Phil. But I'm saying for me, I would buy a ticket. I would be front row up at Camden Yards. I'd be sitting in the box seats. I'd have my Boog Pal cheesesteak or whatever they have there, pit beef. And I'd be like, come on, let's go. Let's see some Jesus. And that's what was beginning to happen. He was beginning to get a following, and word was traveling because they were in Jerusalem for Passover, and any good Jew went to Jerusalem for Passover if you were able. And Jesus was taking his time coming back. Other people had gotten to Galilee, which was in the north, and they said, let me tell you something. That carpenter's boy, he's something. Here's what he's doing. So there became this groundswell of stuff that occurred through here. And so in John 3, it talks about all the miraculous signs that he did. And they came to see Jesus. And we're going to find out that this man in the scripture that I'm going to read to you in a bit, that's also in your bulletin, he came not for Jesus to take his sins away, not because he needed Jesus as Savior, but because Jesus could do tricks. And many times I believe we want Jesus to do tricks in our life, but we forget about the other stuff that he does. So let's look at verse 45, and we'll read through verse 46, 48. So it says, when he arrived in Galilee. Now, I believe, Melinda, up a little bit further, I have a map. Can you put that map up, and we'll come back to this verse? Because I want to show people, because it's really important. Now, you see here, can everybody find Cana on the map? Okay. Now, that's where he's going to end up, in Galilee. Now, Jerusalem is all the way down here. He's making his way up. He made his way through Samaria. Jews and Samaritans hated each other, but there's this little story at the beginning of John chapter 4. That's your homework this week. Go to John chapter 4 if you don't have a Bible and you got an internet connection. It's awesome. You have a Bible, or if you have a smartphone, you can have one. On YouVersion, it's a great, great Bible. So, but he was making his way up from Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is south, but it's up on a mountain, high mountain. So he's coming back down. He goes through Samaria, which you wouldn't do, and he met this woman at a well. Many of you may know the story of the woman at the well. She was there. She came at a time of the day. She was, let's say she was a little bit loose in her living, and so she decided to go at a time when all the other girls weren't, because she didn't want anybody to talk about her. And she comes in contact with this Jewish guy who begins to ask her all kinds of questions. He said, I can give you living water. That'll never run out. She needs her need met. Give me some so I don't have to come back here and deal with everybody else. Give me some. I need it right now. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. And through that, she came to know Christ, went back to the area called Sychar, which is where she was from, and that whole town evangelized, so much so that a Jew stayed with Samaritans for 2 days. That's a big deal. That's like a neo-Nazi staying with a minority for 2 days. You with me? That's the effect that Jesus had. Then he makes his way back to Galilee. So what was happening? The people in Jerusalem had already made their way back, and they start telling people about what's going on. Also, keep a look at Capernaum up there, because that's where this official is going to come from. Everybody see that? Okay, it's about 20 miles from Cana. Now, here we go. Let's go back to the scripture lesson. Everybody good? All right. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans, that's people from Galilee, in case you didn't figure that out, welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they had also been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee. Everybody saw what that was? Now, Cana's significant because that's where Jesus did his first recorded miracle when he was at the wedding and he changed water to wine. Great guy to have at a party if you're running out of stuff, all right? And there was a certain, now, here we go. There was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come heal his son, who was close to death. Stop. Now, during this time, the Romans were in control. And when the Romans took over a place, they anointed a puppet king. In this case, was a very ruthless, bad guy named Herod Agrippa. There's a lot of Herods, but he was Herod Agrippa. He killed people. He married his sister and other kinds of people, and he killed his own children. All a threat to the throne. Not a good guy. So when you see the term royal official, it means a royal person. This was an official underneath Herod Agrippa. With me? All right. So it could have been like a governor or something like that. So he was connected to Herod Antipas. Not Agrippa, excuse me, Antipas. So he heard about Jesus, and he begged him. His son is really, really, really sick, and begged him to come. Verse 48. Now, I find this really interesting. Here comes this guy. How many of you have ever been desperate in your life? How many have ever, raise your hand high. I want to see who's desperate. How many have ever been desperate? How many are too proud to say that you were desperate in life? Okay, there we go. I think some of us don't like to say we're desperate because that's we think that is a weakness. But here's this man who's desperate. His son is dying, and he goes to this man, Jesus, and is begging him. He says, please, 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 please do something. If you don't come, he's going to die. If you don't come, he's going to die. Please, will you come with me? It's about 20 miles. Let's go. And Jesus' answer is very interesting. He says, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you won't believe. That's not the answer I want to hear when I'm desperate. I'll be like, sure, I'll go with you. Wait, where are we going? Oh, Capernaum? I've been there. We'll go. Let's go. Come on, guys. It's like he's irritated. And I don't think he's being negative, but you notice he's not addressing the man. He's addressing everybody. Because everybody came to see him. If you go back to verse 43, it says a prophet is without honor in his own town. But yet they come back and they're welcoming him. Why? Not because of who he is and why he's there, but because of what he can do for them. Jesus, I need you to fix this quick. I need a quick fix right now, God. Go ahead, Jesus. Give it to me. Give it to me. So he says, I need you to come and go. And all the people are like, yes, here it is. Here it is. We know he's sounding sick. And Jesus says, you guys won't believe unless you see these wonderful tricks that I'm doing. But it's more than these tricks. Can you imagine standing there and being that man? I believe that most of our faith happens to be in an if-them relationship. You know, it's critical that Jesus doesn't say, okay, if you go ahead and say 10 Hail Jesus or Hail Marys and then come back, and then I'll heal your son. Or if you get your life together and then you read your Bible one whole week and do that YouVersion plan for the whole year and you're good for about 3 months, then I will heal that. And we live in this kind of if-then situation so much with Jesus in our lives, and we think that's how God is, if-then. But you notice he doesn't do anything if-then in this situation? What we have to come to the point is that no matter what happens in life, God is good, and you can trust him to take care of you, no matter what happens. Because Jesus replied, in verse 49, it says the royal official said, sir, come before my son dies, because when I'm desperate, I have an answer that I want to hear. How many of you like the answer that you want somebody to tell you before you get to it? Nobody? How many like an answer? You have the answer you want to hear before you go to that. If there's a problem in life, if you go to the mechanic and your car's been making that clank, 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 clank sound, and you go up. Like I remember my old Jeep. I got in Dover, drove an hour, and as soon as I got on, I heard this clank, 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 clank. It drove an hour. I rode all the way around. I got off on 95, pulled into Curtis Abrams, pulled up there. It's clanking. It felt like somebody taking a spoon in a pan. Clank, 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 clank. And I pulled up, and every mechanic went like this. Not a good sign. And I'm telling myself, oh, I hope it's a valve tapping. But I know that's like a powerful valve tapping. I know it wasn't. I figured, this sucker's throwing a rod. It's not a good deal. I pull up there. Curtis Abrams comes out. He goes, I turned it off. He says, start that back up again. It goes up, clang, 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 clang. Curtis puts his head out and goes, Jack, you need a new vehicle. Not the answer I wanted to hear. Not the answer I wanted to hear. And it would have been what this man says here. Jesus says, hey, all you people just want signs. And he says, the royal official says, sir, come on. He didn't even hear Jesus. And sometimes that would have been like me saying to Curtis, so, valve tap, right? No, you need a new vehicle. Valve tap. No, new vehicle. Valve tap. I am the mechanic. No, new vehicle, right? You with me? And so many times in our lives, when Jesus tells us something, I want to trust him by seeing the reaction that happened in my life. If I have stress, I want Jesus to come through and go, stress be gone. I want Jesus to come through and say, no problems in your life. Like a Jedi mind trick. And when he says, Jack, you know, Jesus never said you wouldn't have issues. Jesus never said you wouldn't have problems. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Boy, that's a lovely one, isn't it? Welcome to Haven Community Church. You're good for the day. In this day, you will have trouble, but, always look for the big but. Take heart, because I have overcome the world. You see, that's our promise. What he's saying is, you're going to see stuff in your life day in and day out that's going to rip your heart out. You're going to come to a point where you're going to emotionally have a connection with me and feel like you're connected to God, but in the workings of your life, it's going to really stink. But guess what? You're going to have problems. But take heart. In other words, what that says, trust me. I've overcome the world. He's saying the same thing that I just asked you to fill in. No matter what happens, God is good, and you can trust him to take care of you. No matter what. The royal official says, sir, come down before my child dies. And a lot of times we're looking at Jesus and we're listening to Jesus like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. But Jesus, I want to, correct? I think a lot of times we over-spiritualize Bible accounts and Bible stories. This man has no interest of saying, I want to see the divinity of Christ in my life. He wants his son healed. Simple fact. He doesn't care who he is, where he's from. He's heard he does cool stuff. You better heal my son. I have a problem. My son's sick. I need it fixed. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you've done everything that everybody else has told you to do? Maybe even religion told you to do something. Told you to say things, maybe even gave you a new language, because that's what we do historically in the church. When you come into the church, we tell you, oh, come as you are. We say, just as I am, and we have people sing and accept Jesus. And then we're like, but we don't like anything about you, so you're going to have to use a King James version and speak in these and thous. All right? And you know, you're going to have to wear certain stuff. You're going to have to speak certain things. You're going to have to do this. And we change who you are. When we're not the ones who need to change you. And if you do that, then God will. The official is not acting out of faith or belief, but out of desperation. Jesus said, you may go. In verse 50, he replies, you may go, your son will live. And then, isn't that weird? Isn't this a weird story? I think it's really, really weird. Jesus didn't do these things like people do, like to say, you know, well, what are the reasons why your son's sick? You know, is there some unconfessed sin in his life? That's why he's sick. Or let me stop for a minute. If you had been a better father, maybe he wouldn't have gotten sick. Or, you know, that's the guilt that people will use. If you had been a better person, stopped skipping church, started reading, then maybe Jesus would heal. You know, Jesus doesn't give a deal. There are no deals with Jesus. Jesus simply says, go home. This guy went 20 miles walking or in a caravan or something, 20 miles. How many of you, if I said, hey, start walking, get to Aberdeen, Bel Air, and then Jesus is there, and you walk there, and the answer to what you need is there, and then they say, go home. I mean, this is a weird, weird story. Here's the whole story. You have a man begging, please heal my son. He's dying. Please, please, please. Jesus says, okay, I will. Go home. Man says, okay, goodbye. Isn't it ridiculous? But the scripture says right here, and I think this is the most powerful verse, when Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. And then this man who is desperate says this at the end. He says this. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He took Jesus at his word and just left. You see, we saw on this chart how far he had to go. He had a lot of walking. Like I said, it's from Haven Church to almost Bell Camp. It's from Haven Church to Cecilton. It's from Haven Church to Peach Bottom. From Haven Church to the I-95 split. Get ready to go to New Jersey. Start walking. If I say go and start walking, that's your answer. That takes some trust. In verse 51, we come to the point that while he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And then he said, what time did he get better? And they said to him, the fever left him about yesterday on the seventh hour. And the father realized that this was the exact time in which Jesus said, your son will live. So he and all his household believed this was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. The Greek so means so then. Here's the translation of this. I asked Jesus to do something. He did it, so I believe. There are two primary thoughts when I look at this scripture that begin to work with me when I look at this. Number one, I think we all start that in this room and those who are watching, two primary thoughts, feelings, or emotions that go on. Number one is, that's what I want. That's what I want to happen. Amen. Exactly. That's what I want. Next time a big issue comes in my life, I want Jesus to do the same thing as he did with the man and tell me when I go to him in desperation and say, boom, that's what I want. Amen. I'm going home. Take care of it. And then I think there's another group that I'm going to be honest with that I dabble in a lot. I hate this story. What? Did he say you hate something? I hate this story, and I want to know, when's this church service over? Because why do I hate this? Because guess what? I've had situations in my life. I've had a desperation where I really, really needed Jesus to do something, or I just really needed him to tell me something and to say, trust me, and go do it. I've had people that I've loved and I prayed for healing for, and they died, and I just feel like Jesus didn't do anything. Anybody else in this camp? My child was sick. My relationship was broken. My job was failing and I needed it. My marriage is in trouble. I have financial needs and other kinds of needs that I need. And guess what? All those things died and you did nothing, God. That's why I don't have faith. I needed Jesus to do something and he didn't do anything. And my faith fell or is falling apart at this moment because of what I'm going through. Can you relate there? Can anybody relate there? When life is all good, it's easy to follow Jesus. Not a lot of faith is needed when things are good. But faith won't keep your problems away. We all will have something happen along the way of this. You know, we like to drive through fixing of our lives. We reduce the Christian life so often to say a prayer and God will fix it. We think that God's up there like, whoo, ready, I'll check in, take a number, like he's at the meat counter, and saying, okay, you'd like that? Very good. Bing, number 10, number A17, there you go. Oh, yes, okay, I'll do that. I'm so glad to do this for you. But here's the thing, number two. I just want to show this. When God doesn't do what we told him to, or what we think, there's some things that we think. So when God doesn't do what we told him to, we think a couple things. Number one, we think that there's something wrong with God. Because if we've been told that God is just sitting up there ready to hear our request and fill it out, and then we get it and we go, and yet life stinks and is difficult, then maybe God's not strong enough to deal with my issue. Or maybe God is just not that loving. Maybe all this talk about God loves you and Jesus, maybe from when I was a little kid singing Jesus loves me, this I know, maybe I don't know it because of what I'm experiencing in my life. Maybe he doesn't love me. So there's got to be something wrong with God. Or there has to be something wrong with me. Because I don't, maybe, it's like people say, well, you're not well because you just don't have enough faith. If anybody tells you that, throw a shoe at him. Or maybe they say, if you do more of this, or you give more of that, or you add less of this to your life, then God will. Those things are garbage and the religiosity that have no place in who Jesus is. He doesn't make deals with us. Both those approaches are so wrong and cause our faith to crumble. Jesus knew we would have problems, and he knew we'd struggle this. That's why he said in verse 48, unless you see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. He was telling them, I'm doing these as a reason why, to help you know that I am who I say I am. Don't be shocked. God's not sitting there and go, oh, they want a miracle? They're struggling in their faith? Oh. He's not shocked by it. Not one bit. We can't wrap our, but we've got to take ownership and stop wrapping our faith in our circumstances. Because our circumstances will get bad again and again. And yet we keep saying seeing is believing. My belief would stink if I based everything about God on what I see in this world or in my life. There has to be something better than this good, bad, up, down cycle of life. And I want to give you two things to think about when we look at this. And they're the two important things. I'm going to just have you write these down. Two things to think about when we look at this. And again, you're not going to get like this major, oh, hallelujah, I'm just awesome. I'm setting up for the rest of the series. You got me? Okay, so we're just kind of getting in there. So here we go. Two things. You ready? And I don't think I have blanks on there, but you can fill them in if you want to. Everyone Jesus healed got sick again and all died. Did you ever think about that? How do you know, Jack? Because I'm not bringing Lazarus out now. Everybody with me? Everybody Jesus healed died. It wasn't a once and for all. Why? You say, why did he die? Is he not that powerful? No, because we die. We aren't made for here. Everybody got sick. I love the story of Peter's mother-in-law, Simon Peter's mother-in-law, who was there, and they healed her, and she made him something to eat. Guess what? That's problems if somebody just heals you to get you something to eat. And guess what? They ate, and they were probably hungry again. Guess what? She probably got sick again. Guess what? She's dead now. It's how it happens because of the sinful fallenness of this world. Guess what? One of the greatest miracles ever. Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children, maybe 15,000 people. They were hungry later that day. Isn't shocking, right? So number one, everyone Jesus healed got sick again and they all eventually died. Number two, everything Jesus did was to point to something bigger, more important, and eternal that never runs out, that never gets sick and never dies. See, all that was for something greater. We like right now, but he says, I supply right now so that you'll look to what's greater and eternal. The woman at the well, remember that's your homework, beginning of John 4? Jesus, she came to the water, to the well to get a drink. And Jesus said to her, remember a couple of months ago I had all these buckets? She said, can you give me something that I can fill that bucket so I don't have to come back here? She wanted a continual filling of this bucket so she didn't have to get her hips up and move down there and go get the water and go say, oh, you guys can go. I stay in my house and get my water. She wanted a magic bucket. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Just a bubbling bucket. Guess what? When you give somebody that drink right then, Jesus could have reached down and said, I'll fill up your bucket for you. Here you go. Guess what? She had to come back because she's thirsty the next day. He's saying, I want to give you something that lasts for eternity. Stop focusing on what you see and start begin of looking at me with spiritual eyes of what I want to do for eternity. In other words, don't worry about today or tomorrow because they got enough problems. Let me focus on that and trust in me. Trust in who I am and who I want to become. When Jesus fixes a problem, he fixes it awesome. But guess what? It'll break again. And then when it does, and it's not fixed, you say, huh, some Jesus. I wonder if people at Lazarus' funeral, the last one, said, remember, bet you they kept looking at the tomb. We had him in there 3 days. Day one, still there. Day two, still there. Day three, hold on. That's when he came out last time. Whew, still there. And they probably just got used to the fact, well, he died. I thought Jesus raised him from the dead. Yeah, but he died. Because we weren't made to be in this thing that we think is so precious and wonderful for eternity. We were made for something greater. He created us for kingdom living in heaven with him and in his presence, not for the stuff that we deal with. I can't wait till there's no more cancer. I can't wait till there's no more addiction. I can't wait that I don't have to cut the grass anymore. Everybody with me here? This series, where we are headed, is the fact that what Jesus did is to point to something bigger and better than my up and down living. Jesus says, this is why I came. And what I want to share with you is events and situations can launch my faith, or situations and events can launch my faith, but they cannot be the foundation of my faith. If God does a miracle in my life, that can be a foundational point, but when my situation changes and I don't have the miraculous anymore, it can't be the foundation of my faith or else it'll crumble. And so what I want to do in this series is not give you surface skimboarding faith. I want to go in and look at the miracles of Jesus and say what it leads us to, something greater and something that doesn't run out. Emotions that are temporary will drive you all over the place. Your hearts will fail you. So what can I depend and lean on? The next several weeks, every miracle and everything that Jesus does points to something, and I'm going to give you this. They point to his death, his suffering, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because guess what? If Jesus did all this cool stuff, died, and was in a tomb where I can go visit him, my faith is useless, and we should sell this place and go have fun. Right? Otherwise, we're wasting our time. We can study the teachings of Jesus somewhere else, in an educational facility or in a moral school. I could be your life coach. Down by the river, sorry. No, the miracles are awesome, and I'm going to tell you right now, I believe in miracles. But miracles fix something temporarily. If what Jesus did is he demonstrated his love for me by giving his life on a cross, taking away my sin. And guess what? By taking away my sin and my mistakes, he does something greater, that I get a place with him. 3 days later, he arose from the dead, and he did everything he said he was going to do so I can trust him. And that event, Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection alone, is the foundation of my faith. And I really believe that the church universal today needs to fall back in love with the cross and back in love with the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. The stuff we do is awesome, but the other things, it's useless if we don't look to the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, because our faith is in vain. We had communion last week, and that was a reminder of what Jesus' crucifixion and death and resurrection, because he knew we would forget. That's why he said, do this as often as you can. What I think is really awesome is this man was not a believer. Do you realize that? And you may be here today, and all he knew was he had a problem, and he tracked the sucker down who could do it. For some reason, desperation, this man took Jesus at his word. So I want to ask you that question today. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to just start to say, all right, put up or shut up, Jesus, I'm going to take you at your word. Even if I don't have it all figured out or any of it figured out, I'm just going to take you at your word. Many of us would not be believers today if it wasn't for an act of desperation in our lives. Just ask Jesus to help you. You know, I don't know if this relates to anything at all, but I just want to share it. Is that cool? The other night we had a good time. That happens far and few between now because our lives are so hectic and like everybody else's, where we got to have all of our family together for dinner. It was late, but we went somewhere. We went to Joe's Crab Shack, is that what it's called? So we went there, and we're sitting there, and there's a lot of us. We're having fun. And anybody ever been to Joe's? Yep. It's good food, and they give you sausages. And you guys are like, what the heck's going on? So being, as we were sitting there, I just saw the sausage, so I just picked it up and I threw it at Jacob. And I dropped another one in Miguel's drink. And before you know it, my kids are throwing sausages at each other. And you know what? I loved it. I loved every ounce of it. You know why? Because we spent time as real family. And I think one of the problems with the church is we would rather throw forks and knives at each other to hurt each other and rather just hit your brother in the head with a sausage, which happened. Good shot, Abigail. All right. It was just fun. And the next day, you know, the kids love that place because they can, we usually don't throw sausages, but I think it's a new Cohen tradition. But, you know, they love it because they get to sit there and they get to do certain things. But in the midst of this, Judah gets up the next morning and he said, Daddy, I had such an awesome time last night. He said, you know what my favorite part was? I said, what, buddy? He said, when we were throwing the sausages. What I'm telling you, there's a lot of junk in your life, you know? Take time to throw a sausage. And in other words, that stuff's still there. It's there. But use time, as the praise team comes up, use time to just trust Jesus that he's going to take care of those things. And just enjoy the dance of life. It's too serious. And before you know it, those little kids that you're wiping their nose and changing their diapers, guess what? As little as Carter is today, guess what? One day he's going to grow up and graduate and he's going to go away. And you're going to miss out on that. For what? For the junk of life that it gives to you? Are you tired of letting life take control of your life? That man could have sat there for days and been like, oh, what am I going to do? He got angry at Jesus. He just said, go home, enjoy your kid. And he went home. All right? See, I don't know if it fit or not, but I just think it's a cool story. Unless you're sitting next to us in the restaurant. All right. Let's stand up. As the lights come down, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I just want you to pray with me. Be praying with me. Lord God, I just know that there's some people here who are going through lots of stuff. People are watching online who are going through lots of stuff. People who are trying to figure everything out. They're carrying so much worry, so much stress, so much everything. God, I know there's people, and I just believe that there are people that have carried so much stress and the weight of the world, are trying to deal with it all, trying to fight it all, that so much so that they've even lost the way and the calling that you've placed on their lives that brought them full joy or any joy that they had. Because all they're hearing from you with all the other stuff clouding them out is wah, 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 and they can't hear anything. I got a need, fix it. I got a need, fix it. I got a need, fix it. And Jesus, you're just saying, trust me. Trust me and just go home. Trust me in the good. You gave me praise when life was good. Give me praise when it's not so good. And trust me. Trust me. God, as we work through these next couple weeks, we know that by starting off today, believing is not really seeing. And what we see is not really bring our belief. Let us trust in your resurrection, Lord, and that is the foundation, and nothing can take that away. So, Lord God, as we're here today, I'm going to ask for people, some who may say, God, I need you to test me in that area that you did that man and say, yeah, that's what I want. Amen. Let's go. Just to kind of raise their hand and say, all right, God, that's what I want you to trust me. But guess what? There's others here who are like I am at times and say, I hate this story because I've prayed and I've asked, and every day I get up and I'm struggling and I'm fighting and I'm wrestling. And God, I tell you, my faith is crumbling. It's on shaky ground right now. That person I pray for, I lost. That person that I'm expecting that good news from that test, it's not. And God, where are you? God, I just pray right now that they just raise, the people who are just honest with themselves say, God, my faith is not as strong as it needs to be. Just to raise their hand where they are. Thank you, God. Thank you. Yes. And God, there's others of us who have just lost our way or may not even know anything about this. But we know that somehow you're an awesome God. And that what you did, we've got to deal with you. You can't just be a good teacher. You're either the Savior of the world. And there may be somebody here today who just needs to open their life and say, all right, I've tried everything else. I've tried the if-then religion. If I do this, then that happens. And what you're saying, God, is just come to him. He or she come to you and just say, even if they're at home right now or they're traveling and they stumbled across this app and they're looking on their phone, and all of a sudden, it's not a mistake, but you're saying, I am reaching out to you and just say, I can't do it anymore. I need a Savior. You're it. I can't figure it out. Just as a man, I'm not a believer, but I have a need, and I need you to deal with it. And God, begin that as not the foundation, but a part of the faith. At this time, as our Stephen ministers come forward to be able to pray with each other, God, I pray that the Spirit of God move mightily in this room. That you touch our hearts and call us forward, or call us to connect, to begin to pray with people next to you. Fall, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. You don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. All right. I know we a couple things to remember. Number one, just remember we're setting up and just put God to test. Try, take him at his word this week in some area. Because you guess what? As soon as you walk out this door, you're going to be hit with something that you see that you're not going to like. Take him at his word. Number two, remember next week we start at what time?
9:30.
It's also Father's Day. And then 2 weeks we have the baptism. And next week our theme will be this. Time for a cool change. All right. So we're going to talk about time for a cool change. And I hope you have an awesome week in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go forth in his power. We love you all. High five somebody, knuckle punch somebody, give them a hug, do whatever you need to. Have a great week.
All the earth rejoice.
What's up? How you doing?